many years ago, I think it was 18 something, that the man said concerning someone else, he said to them, they were standing there looking as if it were out into space, and he said to them, a penny for your thoughts. And ever since that time, you and I have heard the saying, when people seem to be out in a wee world of their own, perhaps, a penny for your thoughts. And very often people will just smile or laugh and say, well, nothing important or nothing really that you would want to know about. But you know, brothers and sisters, as we think about our thoughts, they are very, very important things. What a man does, I'll use myself as the example, what he does and how he behaves in front of other people in public, that is something that is undoubtedly noticed, faults and all. And whether his impression or his example is for good or for ill, well, that's a matter of opinion so often. And a person, however they behave, can appear to be many things if you judge by their actions alone. And history, the annals of history, are filled with individuals, again, just like me, or maybe like you, who have seemed to behave, to be living in such and such a way, and perhaps even in a way that is attractive, a way that is maybe in many ways beyond reproach. And yet history also records that something happened. And soon people discovered that everything was not well and things were not what they seemed to be at all. And very often, as I've heard it said in my lifetime, you know, people will ask the question, oh, I wonder what happened. Of course, we don't know exactly what happened in individual cases. But we do know this, that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Someone said long ago in my hearing, they didn't say it to me, they're just repeating it, they said, you're not what you think you are, but what you think that you are. You're not what you think you are, but what you think that you are. Person may be noted as being a kind individual or even someone who's looked upon as a person who has a great deal of hatred in their life. And we can look upon them and say, well, there's a man and he's got a very kind heart, or there's another individual and he or she is full of wickedness. Again, we're not referring to the organ that pumps the blood around our bodies, but we're referring to the inner man. And here's a verse in Proverbs chapter 23 that says to me, that which happens, that is what I might seem to be, or what you might do, or what anyone else might do, it begins with our thoughts. Because as we think in our heart, so we are. And that's what the Bible says. And the apostle there, in the passage we read in 2 Corinthians, when he was writing to this church that he had to, earlier on, he had to correct them in certain things. He loved them, and it would be wrong to think anything else. He loved them, but he had to say things early on to them that needed to be changed. And then now, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says to them, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He comes to these people who'd had their struggles. And maybe you have yours, and I have mine. And he come along and he said to them, you can know victory. You can know victory. And he tells them here that the weapons of their warfare are not carnal. The thought here is of spiritual empowerment. In the verse 3 it says there, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after. The word after there means according to the flesh or the old man. We're different. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a different person. The old things are passed away and all things are become new. You're justified, you're saved eternally, and you still struggle. And you still come into situations where you realize there's a battle here. But he goes on in that passage to say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We only looked at two passages this morning so far, and I trust that I said enough to have all of us remember that our thoughts are very important. Someone said that thoughts are young actions. We certainly know that our thoughts can awaken feelings. Our thoughts can inflame wicked passions. Our thoughts always command action. They always command action. So I asked myself this morning this question, or say this to myself. A penny for your thoughts. Let's look at our thoughts today. And I want to say some things here about the importance of our thought life. The first thing is this, that in our thought life, and the thoughts are very real, they often lead to change, sometimes to life-changing situations. So it's very, very important we know how to deal with them. The first thing is this, that personal discipline is very important. The Apostle Paul here, and maybe you've turned now to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he is saying to the believers here, he loves them in the Lord, he wants them to walk in victory, he knows about the struggles, and he says here, you're walking in the flesh, but you don't war after the way of the old man. Remember, you're people now who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, you can be empowered by God's Spirit, and you can know victory. It says here, casting down imaginations. Man's imagination has caused wars and great heartache and hardship, and it still does. Casting down imaginations, because the word imaginations there is a word that actually means false reasonings or deluding thoughts. And how often, even I or you, how often thoughts could come into our mind and our reasoning isn't right. Or our thoughts could be those which are totally detrimental to progressing with the Lord. And it says there, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You remember when Paul was praying, he prayed for particular believers that they would increase in knowledge of God. Well, don't you think for one moment that you're wishing to increase in the knowledge of God and a closer walk with him, that it will go unchallenged, because it won't. It won't. And therefore, discipline is very important, bringing into captivity every thought. This really says to me that I have an obligation to deal with my thoughts in a responsible way. Sometimes I think for every Christian, thoughts can come in. When you see something, perhaps on television, or you hear something, some sort of thought comes in, or maybe you get very angry about something you see. Thought comes in, but it flits through your mind. You don't dwell on it because you know you shouldn't. You know you shouldn't. And this personal discipline is very important for us if we are to enjoy comfort. Comfort in a world that is uncomfortable. Remember the apostle when he preached? He preached fearlessly and without favor. And it is true that on a number of occasions, there were quite a number of people that listened to what he had to say. And they responded in a very favorable fashion. They came and they trusted the Lord. And some of them became great helpers in God's work. Other times, there were riots. There were riots when he preached. And very often, he was suffering for the stand that he took. But despite all of the dangers that confronted him and the busy schedule that he had, he always had a deep, settled peace. And here was the answer. Do you remember he said in another occasion that he brings his body into subjection? lest having preached to others, he himself becomes a castaway. And the word castaway there is the word adokimos in Greek. It means set aside. Set aside. Lest I having preached to others, I be set aside. And he didn't want that to happen. He knew he had to have that discipline if he was to know what it was to walk in comfort. If you turn with me, please. And I know that we all want to walk in comfort with the Lord. If you turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul here, it's good to remember that he's writing to quite a young church. He's probably about 10 years old now. And he exhorts them there to unity. He says in verse 2, I beseech Eutychus and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. There obviously was some kind of friction here. And he's saying to them, in spite of that, if you would be in the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And then he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He knows he's writing to people who are in danger of, in some degree, slipping into despair because of what's around them. But he says here in verse 6, be careful. And the word there, again, in the original is a word that means don't be overly upset, or don't be, well, it really carries the thought of hyper anxiety. Very easy to be anxious. Suppose you can't be a Christian in 2018 and not have some anxiety when you think of everything. But he says here, don't be over anxious. Be over anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, and you see the word requests there, that word requests means minute details. You can come to the prayer meeting here, and we love to see you there, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday, whatever the case might be. And we pray, there's a lot of things we pray that are very well known to all of us, needs that are there. But the thought here with requests is minute details. Minute details. Now you have those things, and so do I. And we don't pray about them in the prayer meeting, but they're important to us. And Paul says here, don't be over anxious, but take your minute details and bring them to the Lord in prayer. And then what happens? Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's comfort. That is comfort here that comes to those who have taken their minute details, that which would in otherwise cause them great anxiety. And they've brought them to the Lord, and they've left them with him. And now they're enjoying peace which passeth all understanding. But if you want to look at the next verse, I'll read it quickly. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. And that simply means worthy of reverence. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's a good list. That's what we're to think on. The true, the honest, the just, the pure, the lovely, that which is to be reverenced. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You want comfort? You want peace in walking with the Lord? Well, here is how to find it. It comes through discipline. Discipline of our thoughts. As it says in 2 Corinthians 10, bringing into captivity every thought if we are to have this comfort. And surely the reason, I know that anxiety can come for an awful lot of reasons, but when you look out at the world today, a reason for much of the anguish of mind that there is today, all around us, a great deal of unsettledness. Is it not because society in general tends to dwell upon that which is untrue, and to fill their minds with that which is dishonest or impure and unlovely? You see, wrong thinking not only leads to wrong action, but wrong thinking leads to wrong feeling. And that is not what the apostle wanted here for the church at Philippi. He didn't want their minds to be like a troubled sea. He wanted them to have comfort. And folks, I would never dare pry into your private business, and I trust you know me well enough to know that now. But I know this, that when you and I bring those requests to the Lord, those minute details, and we leave them with him and we seek his face earnestly and we dwell upon the things in verse 8, then we can be greatly helped. We can be greatly helped, and we can know great comfort even in our minds. Think of the psalmist David, and many of the times that he had all kinds of conflicts in his life, and he figured out very early on that focusing upon that which was true and honest was the only way he had peace in his mind. You remember when he fell through his relationship with Bathsheba and he ended up a murderer for putting Uriah the Hittite in the front of the battle? Well, that was a year of I can't explain the trouble he had in his mind. A year of terrible trouble in David's mind. And he had never any peace at all or comfort until that situation was dealt with. So you and I must have this discipline, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, if we are to know comfort, if we are to know personal growth. Every believer wants to go on with the Lord. I mentioned just a wee while ago there, 1 Corinthians 1, when Paul was writing to them, he said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, that is, of their love in the Spirit, which was good, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Here we have him saying to the believers here, if you want to go on with the Lord, here's what we're going to pray for you. That you will be filled with the knowledge of his will and spiritual understanding. All I want to say at this time is that if you want to go on with the Lord, you can. If you want to go on with the Lord, you can. Can I ask you please just to turn back again to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Take a wee look with me, please, there, if you would, at verse 5. We've already read it together. Now, in the original, if you had the Greek before you there, a Greek language, a Greek Bible, the grammatical construction of verse 5, you're looking at it there, it connects immediately with verse 3, where it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after or according to the flesh." And when we do that, remember verse 5 in the original is connected directly with verse 3. When we do that, we pull down or cast down imaginations and every high thing. The thought there of high thing is of military towers or fortresses. And whenever an enemy came to a city and sought to take it, one of their strategies would always have been they need to take out the tower. Or the fortresses that are there. They need to take out that which is high, because those which are high up have a strategic advantage in that they can see what is going on. They can keep their eye on the enemy. Well, Paul says here, we can pull these things down. But he's also saying here, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. We just read about that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And now it's speaking here about these high things that are like high towers or fortresses that exalteth themselves against the knowledge of God. You won't progress without a battle, and neither will I. And the apostle here is saying, it's a matter of these things. We don't try to rationalize these things and try to somehow explain them away or to see the worth of them. If they're exalting themselves against the knowledge of God, they need pulled down. the knee pulled down. He's thinking here, speaking here for thoughts. Thoughts that can be so strong and so wrong that they're against the knowledge of God. And if you and I, Christian, have discipline in our lives regarding our thoughts, bringing into captivity every thought, we can know the comfort that we read about in Philippians chapter 4. We can know personal growth and know what it is to gain victory. I think of Joseph and all of the times that he was at the crossroads. He could have made the easy decision, or he could have made perhaps the one that was a bit more of a struggle. But he had to decide. And there had to be discipline in his life. And all through Joseph's life, even in the most difficult circumstances, and the most in the circumstances that would have been perhaps been very easy for him to go the wrong way, Joseph did the right thing. He exercised discipline in his thought life. And for that reason, you constantly read concerning him, but God was with Joseph. But God was with Joseph. Because Joseph knew what it was to go on with the Lord and to grow in him. Also, discipline, not only does it help our personal growth and bring us great comfort, but it brings great honor to the Lord. When God looks upon us and he sees our heart, we mentioned that earlier on, that is the inner man, he knows all about our thoughts. It doesn't matter what I do. Well, it does, but that doesn't mean that's really what I'm thinking. But the Lord knows. And in Proverbs chapter 4, it speaks, you know the passage, we've looked at it before, not turned to it just now. It says, speaks there about keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And if we keep our heart, and that will happen when we control our thoughts, there will be comfort in our minds and lives, there'll be personal growth, but we will honor the Lord when we keep our heart, because verse 20, be careful what we hear, verse 24, what we say, verse 21, this is Proverbs chapter 4, what we watch or look at, and verse 27, where we go. Our eyes, our ears, our tongues, and our feet will all obey the promptings of our mind. You ever think of that? Our eyes, our ears, our tongues, and our feet all obey the promptings of our mind. Why do wicked men go out and commit abominable acts against other people? Because their minds are full of wickedness. Why does a Christian try to win his neighbor to the Lord even though he knows they live sinful lives and he's not happy with the things they do? Why does he try to win them to the Lord? Because he has a mind that has a burden for the souls of men and women. He knows what the Lord has done for him and what the Lord can do for others as well. How important this diligence is, and this discipline is. So we have here in a penny for your thoughts, there is the personal discipline that is so important. But I want to say secondly and briefly that diligent care is required every day. Diligent care is required every day. Your circumstances today are slightly different from yesterday, and they'll be different again tomorrow. And due to the very nature of things, we are out and we're rubbing shoulders with the world, and there is that which can catch you out, can catch you out. And I want to mention just a couple of things. There are our associates. My associates and yours influence us in one way or another, always. Always, for good or bad. And it's the same with all of us. And I just want to say that when they focusing upon things which are honourable, on God's word, maybe they're filling themselves and they're like, a bit of show. That's not going to do you any good. But our friends always influence us in some way or another. And they will affect us for good or for ill. So young person and older person too, we just need to be very careful. Need to be very careful here, because every day we're coming to different circumstances. Reading of a man, and he said his circumstances one day was very different from the day before, and he realized that he was in a situation where he could have been very easily affected and influenced, and he was vulnerable. And he said, I was so glad then that I had my mind filled with the Word of God. He said, because when my mind was filled with the Word of God, there was no room left for other thoughts. No room left for other thoughts. So I do trust that the Lord will help us every day to be diligently watching out, because diligence is constantly required. Today's victory does not guarantee victory tomorrow. Diligence is required tomorrow again. We can mention the flesh here, the old man, the Apostle Paul, and you know the passage well, I'm sure, Galatians 5, where the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, the war going on all the time. And he says there in Galatians 5, the verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The word walk there refers to a conquest. And that's every day. You can't let the shield down any day, because the conquest is on every day. And you and I, again, if you read Galatians chapter 5 in your own time carefully there, you will see that victory is something you can have. We'll mention there the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These thoughts had to be in the mind before they'd be displayed in the life. They had to be in the mind before they'd be displayed in action. So whenever you and I are diligently every day seeking to watch out, we want to watch our friends. And that's not meant to be disrespectful to anyone, but those who are associates are. We just want to watch. We want to watch the old man, as Galatians 5 teaches us. But we want to watch the fascination that there is in the world. I've mentioned Demas to you before, and someone asked the question, what did Demas do? Well, if you read about Demas in chapter 4 of Colossians, he was sending greeting along with Paul. You read about him in Philemon, verse 24, he was involved there with the greeting again. If you read about Demas in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul says, Demas hath left me, having loved this present world. He looked, he longed, and then he left. He looked, he longed, and then he left. And folks, that's happening far too often today. People looking out on the system out there, on the world, on the fascination that there is. And again, I'm not saying to you that there's not good things that we can enjoy. Of course there is. We're thinking of our go-karting, of our trip to the men's outing there to the walls in Londonderry, to the ladies' trip, to all of them things. They're very, very good. But the fascination of the world there is enough to destroy you. It can destroy you. So this diligence is something we need to look to every day. But I just want to finish off by saying that you can know victory now. You can know victory now. We look into our own heart. Maybe we think, well, I haven't been very victorious in all of this. I've known what it is. My thoughts haven't been good. There's a man one time preaching years ago. I can't remember who it was. And I was there, and he said, you know, if the Lord were to ask us to write our thoughts up on the wall, today's thoughts up on the wall, I wonder if we'd be happy enough to do it. I wonder if we'd be happy enough to do it. But I want to say that you can know victory today. The apostle here in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says to bring these thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. And when you and I are looking to him, the Holy Spirit of God works always in accordance with the word. They never work contrary to one another, ever. And you have the Holy Spirit working in accordance with the word. And when you and I are listening to the word and we're reading the word and the Lord is putting his word into our hearts, then he can help us. And you think today, but preacher, that sounds a bit too simple. Well, in John 17, in the verse 17, the Lord Jesus was praying for his own people, and he prayed, sanctify them through thy word, or set them apart, or help them and strengthen them, and really to help them to go on with God. Sanctify them through thy word. There's no doubt about this, that if we neglect the word of God, our thought life will go all wrong. It will go all wrong. And maybe there's someone here today and you know that. You know that. And if you talk to anyone who, maybe they used to love meetings, and maybe they brought you along, encouraged you too. And now, if you look really into the situation with them, the meetings don't hold the attraction at all that they used to. Hardly ever come to meetings anywhere. If you're talking to that person, I would guarantee you that in many, many occasions, the problem has started with the thoughts. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's plenty of things spewed out on the media here in Northern Ireland. And you need to be a fool to believe it all. And people can appear to be many things, and pious and all of these things, and yet you and I can know that there's great wickedness there. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, it's not his gestures or something that he seems to do or she seems to do that seems, oh, that's not so bad, they're quite nice. Well, that means nothing. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I trust that the Lord will help us with our thoughts, and that you today will know comfort, that you will know growth in the Lord, and that he will bless you abundantly, and that you will know victory too. When the temptation is there and the wrong thoughts come along, that you and I will know what it is to bring them into captivity to the obedience to Christ, to pull down the strongholds, and to go on with the Lord in these days. We do thank